made an end of to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present, but he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. Oh, Eglon wanted this, didn't want anybody to know what this present was. So Ehud was probably, he was good about that too. He said, Ehud came unto him and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. If somebody comes to you with a message from God, you had best pay attention to what it says. And it says, and he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the halt also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirk came out. And he died. Now, I want to warn you, especially Steve, you got up here and you went up there and you got these people under conviction about being fat. You better lose some weight, son. That's all I got to say. You're going to have this host on you. Not that I'm saying all of you is too fat, but every one of us can afford to lose a little bit of weight, right? Except for Brother Spake. He needs all he can get.
And,
yeah. Well, you know, some of you that's real skinny like that, I think you got worms.
Amen.
You need a good dose of worm medicine. All right. I just want to kind of lighten things up a little bit. I could tell some of you's a little tight. That's all right. Loosen up, man. Just loosen up. You know, some of you need to learn to take a joke.
Amen.
You know, that's like years ago. This is before they had all this security stuff at the airports. How many of y'all remember the days whenever the airplanes, they came in and you got off out there on the tarmac and you had to walk up to the terminal and all that stuff. Do y'all remember that? I'm not old enough to remember that. Some of y'all are, but there was a big crowd. The Pope was going to visit this country and he was going to be flying into New York. I believe it was coming in there and there's a whole crowd around them, and every time a plane come up there and landed and taxi, they were saying, is that him? Is that him? Is that him? And this guy that was in the crowd, he looked up and he said, nope, that ain't him. And then people started looking at another plane come up, and everybody says, is that him? Is that his plane? And this same guy stood up and looked at the plane. He said, nope, that ain't him. And then all of a sudden, this plane landed and it started coming up, and everybody looked at him and they said, is that him? He said, looked. He says, yep, that's him. And sure enough, he got off of that plane, and man, everybody was cheering. And they said, well, how did you know that that was him? Well, he said, look at the tail. It says TWA. Top Wop arrives. You need to learn to take a joke.
Amen.
Loosen up. There ain't nothing wrong with stuff like that. Have a good time. All I know is that the devil does not want me to preach this tonight. But I'm going to do it anyhow. I was over there finishing my message, and Brother Buddy come walking in my office, and I was fine. I don't know if I'm allergic to him or what. But man, all of a sudden, I started sneezing. My eyes started running. My head started building up, and I was in bad shape. I said, what in the world is going on? Finally, I just got down and prayed, and I said, Lord, you're going to have to take this from me, because I got to preach tonight. And sure enough, he did. And I'm going to preach this message. I just finished it a little bit after he left. And the title of it is, The Devil Is. The Devil Is. And we're in a battle, church.
That's right.
And I think we ought to know our enemy. And the devil does not want to be revealed. He likes to stay in the shadows. See, he's a deceiver. He doesn't want your eyes open to the truth. He doesn't want you to understand how he is and what he does. And that's what we're going to deal with here tonight. And I just take your Bibles and turn the book of Isaiah with me, chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And my head still trying to stop up. I haven't had any sinus problem in years. That's why that was amazing. Isaiah chapter 14, look at verse 12. That's on page 726 if you've got an old Scofield Bible. Verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you tonight for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And Lord, I pray that God, you might open our hearts and our minds to the snares and the tricks of the devil. And Lord, I pray, God, that anointing might fall down upon this message, upon your messenger here tonight. And Lord, just speak to us here for just a little while. Open our hearts and our minds to the Word of God. Lord, it might be somebody here that needs to get saved. God, I pray that you'd save them here tonight. We thank you, God, for that precious soul this morning that came down and made a public profession of his faith. And God, I pray that, Lord, you just get a hold of his heart. Help him, God, to grow up in that nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help him, God, to understand the deep things of God. And Lord, I pray now that your perfect will might be accomplished here tonight, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a description of the devil here in talking about what happened to him. His pride got up the best of him. His pride is what brought him down. He said, I. And when you start hearing somebody say, I've done this, I've done that, they're full of pride, so you need to be careful of them. One more portion of Scripture. Turn over to the book of Ezekiel with me. That's back over to the right in your Bible, right after the book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel chapter 28. And then I'll get started in this thing. I want to get a little bit of groundwork. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And look about verse 12. Or verse 11, I'm sorry. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus." Now the king of Tyrus, I'll save a little bit of time, that's the devil. He had his kingdom, he had his rule. And it says, "And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, and workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Now that's a description of the devil. He was perfect in beauty. And that was a perfection, how he came to Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's how he deceived her, because he was probably the most beautiful creature that God had ever created, and that was the devil. Now think about somebody, all them diamonds and them emeralds and them rubies and all, just a shining and sparkling, all those musical instruments he had on him. I mean, he was fit, boy, I tell you what. And he came to Eve and he deceived her. Now see, the devil, you've got to understand, the devil is the prince and the power of the air. Now let me show you this. Turn over the book of Ephesians with me, chapter 2. Y'all stay with me now. We're going to turn through some scripture today. Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1, that's page 1251 if you need a little bit of help, and it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past," in other words, before he quickened you, before you got saved, "wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." See, the devil is a deceiver. The devil is leading the whole world into darkness because they're already there. So you got to understand, the devil knows exactly what he's doing. The devil's trying to damn everybody he can to hell. And the only reason, the only way they've got any hope at all is for us that are the children of God that were in trespasses and sin. That we were, that's past tense, but God has raised us up and made us walk in newness of life. And God has given us the light of the glorious gospel to shine down in our hearts. So we need to be more about telling people and showing people how to get saved and what they need to do to make it to heaven. I heard people say, "Well, you Baptist think you got the only way." If you've got Jesus, you do have the only way, because he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So if you got Jesus, you got everything you need to get you to heaven. But see, the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and it's the spirit. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. How many of y'all know that people that claim to be saved, but they're out there just wallowing in the pig pen of the world? Yeah. Think about it. See, that's the devil. Well, they're walking in the course of this world. They're walking without any light at all because God has allowed them to have their senses blinded and dulled. And God is saying, "Okay, if you don't want me here, you can have this." And most people lap it up just like a dog that's thirsty, eating, drinking water. You got to understand that God loves us. Amen. God does not have to put up with us, though. How many of you think you're where you need to be with God? I dare say not anybody here is where we need to be with God. Nobody. Amen. We need to strive to get closer. You know who's trying to stop you to get closer? The devil. How many of you ever got alone with God and say, "Okay, God, I'm going to go in my prayer closet and I'm going to pray 15 minutes. And about the time you shut the door, the phone rings. How many of you ever been out knocking on doors and trying to witness to somebody, and somebody's just about before getting ready to pray and ask Jesus to save them, and the baby starts crying? Or their phone rings. Or somebody drives up in the drive. It doesn't make any difference. Always some kind of disruption to break the concentration of that one that's getting ready to get saved. You think that's just an accident? The prince of the power of this world knows exactly what to do and when to do it and how to do it to try to keep people from getting saved. Now, we got to understand that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, but guess what? Turn back over to John chapter 14 with me. John chapter 14. That's on page, 1136. John chapter 14. Look at verse 27. Bible says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Well, Jesus made a statement there. He says, "I'm going to give you my peace, not the same peace that the world gives you." See, a lot of people, they think they have their peace and their wealth and their riches. I want to let you know that that can be taken away just like that. But see, what you have from God, the peace that you have from God, can never be taken away. Jesus said, "I'm going to give you my peace, not the peace that the world gives you, but my peace." Now let's go on. It says in verse 28, "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go into the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you." Now listen to what this. "For the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me." The devil is the prince of this world. He is the god of this world. He's the one that is ruling all of the things that's going on in this world. He's in control of ISIS. He's in control of the Israeli nation. He's in control of our nation. He's in control of Great Britain. Every major country, every country in this world, the devil is the god of that country. The devil is the one that's leading. You say, well, we're a Christian nation. You better wake up and smell the roses, honey. We haven't been a Christian nation since they took prayer and the Bible reading out of this church, out of the country, taking it out of schools. Man, you can see the decline. You look at all the studies on that. From was 19, was it 62 they did that, took prayer out of school? 60-something. 63? Somebody say three? Three? Five? Can I have six? Come on, someone. Somewhere in the 60s. I was just a little baby then. I can't get by with nothing. Man, I tell you what. But I tell you what, it's, I know when I was going to school, when I was in elementary school, I remember the teacher reading the Bible every morning to us. I remember that's where I learned to quote Psalms 23, the whole Psalm 23. That's whenever we learned the Lord's Prayer. That's whenever we learned to salute the flag, pledge allegiance to the flag. That's when we learned to respect this country, to honor God and the things of God.
Right.
And just as soon as they took that out, the decline started. You started seeing kids killing kids. You start seeing kids killing teachers. Teachers doing all kind of stuff to the students. You name it. There is all hell has broke loose in our educational system. Why? Because they took the Bible and prayer out of the classroom.
Yes.
I wonder why that happened. The god of this world. The prince of this world. It tells us over in 2 Corinthians, I was getting a little ahead of them. Turn back over to 2 Corinthians. I'll show you the scripture on that one about the god of this world. I want you to see that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, how can you hide the gospel? It's out in plain sight, isn't it? You got tracks in your pocket. How can it be hid? Well, it's the truth of it. It's what the essence of that is being hid from the minds and the hearts of the ones that's receiving the truth. Well, look at what it says. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom, in other words, in the ones that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How many of you ever passed out tracts and somebody said, I don't want that blankety blank thing. I don't need that. I've got my own religion. I've got my own beliefs. I'll get there my way. Boy, are you in for a waking up charge.
Wow.
But see, Satan is the one that's blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, we know, according to 1 John, turn over to 1 John with me, and I challenge y'all to be here on Wednesday nights. I started the study of 1 John on Wednesday nights, and I'll tell you what, this is a rich, rich book, and I guarantee it'll be a blessing to you if you can stand it. First John chapter 5. Look at verse 17. First John, that's on page 1325. First John chapter 5, verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. Now that's a pretty straightforward statement, isn't it? All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. We know, now here's some things that we know. John's saying, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. See, we know that the whole world, according to the Word of God, lieth in wickedness. That's why I can safely say that every country in this world today is controlled by the prince and the power of the air, the god of this world. They are going in their his own agenda. Why is that? Because one day, real soon, the Antichrist is going to have to take hold of things and take charge. The Antichrist has got to have everything in order. A lot of, you know, like us, you know, it's killing me to see our country going down the way, and it's going fast too. It's not slow. It's going just like a landslide. It's going real quick. But you know what? All of this has to come to pass. Everything has to be in order for the Antichrist to step in and say, I'm here. And the world's going to see him as he is. And what he says, he claims to be the Christ. And they're going to receive him as the Christ. Even the Jews are going to receive him until that oblation, that abomination takes place, is spoken of in the prophet Daniel. And the veil is taken over off from their eyes and their hearts. And they're going to see Satan as he is and what he's for. But see, the whole world is following after him right now. So what difference does it make whenever he takes cult? Everything's going to go in the direction it's going right now. What's the direction they're going right now? Just as hard and fast away from God as they can go.
That's right.
People this day and time do not want to retain God in their conscience. You don't think so? You go try passing some tracks out. The whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that the devil is a deceiver. Now turn over to 2 Thessalonians with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians is right after 1 Thessalonians. It's on page 1272 if you have an old Scofield Bible. I think I'm going to start reading back in chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. See, Paul was saying, look, I want you to understand that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, if Paul was saying this almost 2,000 years ago, what do you think's going on today? It's close. And he goes on and said, Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, that's talking about the day of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's apostasy. We're there. You look at the Bible-believing churches 20, 30 years ago that used to preach the Bible. And by what I'm talking about the Bible, I'm not talking about some funny book. I'm talking about this old AV 1611 King Amen. James Bible. And if you don't have that Bible, you got the wrong book, honey.
Right.
You got something the devil's going to deceive you by. You say, well, preacher, how can you say that? Well, turn over and look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible says, In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You know what your funny book says? It says, In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. What does it do? It leaves out the blood of Jesus
right.
Christ. And without the shedding
That's
of blood,
right.
there is no remission.
That's right. Preach it.
I forgot to tell y'all I love you, didn't I? I do. He's a great deceiver. Now, let me finish reading this. I didn't get where I'm going to go yet. It says, verse 3, Let no man deceive you by any means, For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now that's the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's going to say, I'm the one you've been looking for, people. I'm him. He's even going to do some signs and wonders for him where those Jews will actually believe it. Verse 5 says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity, that's the mystery of lawlessness and wickedness, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That he there is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is what's holding all this back. But when the Holy Spirit of God's taken out of here, and when that going to happen? That's going to happen at the rapture of the church, when Jesus says, steps out on the portals of glory and hollers, come up hither, we're gone, and the Holy Spirit is inside of us, and we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Guess what? We're going to be gone, and the Holy Spirit's gone. And then all hell's going to break loose down here on this earth. If you ain't saved, guess what? You better get saved before that shout comes, because you ain't going to have that second chance. Well, how can you say that, preacher? I'm glad you asked that question. I'm going to show you. Verse 8, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's when he literally comes. See, the second coming of Jesus Christ is in two parts. You've got the rapture, and then you've got the revelation. The rapture is a secret catching away of the church. The second coming, the revelation, is when every eye is going to behold him. That's when he literally comes back to this earth. And it goes on, it says, verse 8, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him. Whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. See, when this Antichrist comes, he's going to have all signs and wonders and lying wonders. And it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now listen to what it says. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, because when somebody heard the gospel and they did not receive it, it says, and for this cause shall God send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What lie? That the Antichrist is God, and they'll bow down and worship him. Look at verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I hate to tell you, that movie Left Behind, that is one of the most unscriptural things there is, because it shows you that you can have a second chance. According to that word of God right here, you've gotten it, because God's going to send you a strong delusion because you didn't believe the truth that right. You might be saved. Now, preacher, don't now me as God as the Bible. If you're not saved, honey, you better get saved. That's all I got to say. And if you are saved and you ain't living for him, you better start living for him with everything you got, because that shout's going to come, and then we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not going to be fun. Satan, look over in 1 Corinthians. That's back over to the left from where we are. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm sorry, chapter 14. I'm going to the wrong place. Chapter 14. The devil is the author of confusion. How many of you have been in a church where this one over here is mad at this one over here, and That one back over yonder is mad at this one up yonder. Y'all ever been to church like that? You think the Spirit of God's going to bless something like that? What does that cause?
Discord
and confusion. How blessed it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. That's why we don't have a whole lot of division in this church. It comes up and everybody's, you know, you'll get disgruntled people. But I guarantee you they don't last very long. I tell them all the time, if you don't like it here, don't let the door hit you in the rear end on the way out. You know why I say that? Because you, in your attitude, will quench the Spirit of God of what's God doing in here. And I'd just soon you not be here as you quench the Spirit of God.
Amen.
When we meet, God meets with us. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, we're here to worship God, not to fight. If you want to fight, go down there to that tough man contest and duke it out with somebody. I bet you wouldn't last 10 seconds. You know why? Because you don't know how to use your fist. All you know how to use is your stinking mouth.
That's right.
Did I say that?
Amen.
Yeah. Where was we at? Chapter 14. Look on down in verse 32. The Bible says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, nobody does anything without self-control. Now, that's what that's talking about. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. There you go, Steve, with your diet. You got to learn to crucify this flesh. In order to live for the Lord, you got to understand that the devil does not want you to live for the Lord. How many of you come on a Sunday and made a vow to God and say, God, I'm gonna be a witness and a testimony for you. I'm going to pass out a tract to everybody I come in contact with. And the first person you see Monday morning, you don't hand them a tract.
Yeah.
You ever done that? Yeah. Every one of us have. I'm going to read my Bible faithfully every day. Lord, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek your face. About by the time Monday is over, you still ain't read your Bible yet. You still ain't prayed. The Bible says it's better not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and not keep it. That's why some of you adhere to that verse. Say, I just ain't going to make no vow because I ain't doing nothing. Shame on you.
Try.
I think God would just soon us try and fail than not try at all. Verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now, God is not a God of disorder. God is a God of peace. And that's what he wants us to have, is peace. Not to be at war one with another all the time. Be at peace. I don't know how many of these young people that they won't come to church or they won't come to something, anything. Says, well, all them people do is they just talk about everybody and backbite everybody. And then they'll just say, well, I just can't stand the way they do. Man, they're doing this and they're doing that. Well, see, they're just eat up with it. Most people like that is the ones that's guilty of that. And that's an excuse for them not to come to church because somebody said something bad about them. Well, you stick around long enough and this preacher will probably say something preaching bad about you. I don't mean you personally. But the Holy Ghost of God knows your number, honey.
That's right.
The God can put on me anything, any given thing at any given time to get you. I know that boy that came down and got saved. Brother Don led him to the Lord Tuesday at work. He come in, he said, preacher, I need to talk to you. He said, you know, you said something a couple of weeks ago. He said, just got under my skin and I couldn't get over it. And I looked at him and said, what was that? Because I didn't remember what a salvation. People say stuff to me and I don't remember. Man, if I write everything I preach down and date it, but that don't mean I remember everything I preach. But he said, you know, you said something. What's going to happen if you get out there on Pine Island Road and you pull out in front of an 18-wheeler and he smashes you like a pancake and you step out into eternity? What you going to do then?
That's right.
If you're not saved, you'll split hell wide open.
That's right.
And God wouldn't let him alone on that thing. God, man, started working on him. He said, man, I don't want to die and go to hell. Man, I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven. That's why he got it right. And I was telling the men in there, you teenagers, I'll be straightforward to you. I'm going to pray God get a hold of this guy real heavy and real strong. He wants to get faithful, come to church. He wants to live for the Lord. He also had some of the pro teams baseball trying to draft him when he was 18 years old playing ball. So when we have our softball game, it's on, son.
It's on.
And beside that, I'm umpiring again, and we are going to win. You better be careful. God might break your other arm before the game. I'm sure I was thanking God. I said, God, I'm sure glad you done that to him so he couldn't play. That youngin' can hit the ball. That other one back there, I never seen these boys hit so. Man, you're going to have to maybe give us about 10 runs, all right? Will y'all do that? Spot us 10 runs?
No mercy this year.
No mercy? It kind of hurt my feelings, though, a little bit. I mean, I just felt bad for them because they were crying and everything else when we got that trophy. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I tell you, I love our young people. We got a great youth department here.
Amen.
Got a great group there, and I tell you what. Some of them, ain't, them boys especially, ain't much to look at, but anyhow, they're trying hard. It's pretty good. We got them using deodorant now. That's real good. 2 You don't think that's a blessing, you should have been here about a year or so ago. Are y'all all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I would not believe every preacher you see on TV.
Amen. That's right.
I wouldn't believe any preacher, even in church, that when he tells you something, can't prove it with this book.
That's right.
This is the instruction book in righteousness right here. This tells us how to live. This tells us how to get to heaven. This tells us what to do and what not to do. So you need to have a proof text, and that's it. Why do you think the devil... Now think about now the devil. You think he wants us to succeed as a church? Now think about, and I've mentioned this before, the first question mark in the Bible is found over in Genesis chapter 3. You know who asked the first question in the Bible? The devil. You know what he asked it to about? Yea, hath God said? Question mark. It's putting a question on the authority of the Word of God.
That's right.
Hath God said? Did God really say if you ate of that forbidden fruit, he'd kill you? I don't believe a loving God would send you to hell. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, see, the problem is you've got a different God than we've got. We've got the God of this Bible, and he says in this Bible, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you do not have life, and the wrath of God abideth on you. Period. Do you have the Son? If you've got the Son, you've got the witness in yourself. Your spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that wrote this book, that you are the children of God. There's something inside of you saying, telling right now, man, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. But if you're not, there's something saying, hey, and that's the Holy Spirit of God talking to you. Are you sure you're not deceived by the devil? Now, he's a deceiver. He wants to damn you to hell. I'm not talking church membership. I'm not talking about how good a person you are, even how good looking you are. And some of y'all are in a heap of trouble. I'm talking about, do you have Jesus Christ in your heart? See, the heart is the seat of our emotions. How many of you, when you get mad, has any of y'all ever got mad? All right, when you get mad, I mean really mad, have you ever noticed your face turning red? Huh? Some of y'all got red face right now. That's all right. You'll get over it. You know what causes that, don't you? When you get mad, your heart beats faster. How many of you ever got a call from your sweetheart and all of a sudden you felt that little fluttering? Huh? Oh, you get goosey-goosey feeling, you know? All mushy-ushy. See, that's your heart doing that. See, the heart is your deep-seated root of emotions. Paul says, set your affection on things above. Your affections is your seat of emotions. Every essence of us that are saved, it ought to be set on things above. Not on things of this earth. Why? Because the things of this earth, one day is going to burn up, and another thing is controlled by the prince of the power of the air. We need to understand that everything, if you're saved, everything that you've got, every promise that you've got is in heaven. We're a heavenly people with heavenly promises. Everything that is associated with us is in heaven. Set your affection on things above. Guess what? If you got all your attention down here, you're in a heap of trouble. See, even it amazes me. These people go out and they accumulate a lot of money. After they get a lot of money, then you got to worry about somebody taking it from you.
Right.
You say, well, I'm going to put it in some secure securities. Right. Then you have some hacker come in there and destroy, or the God of this world says, well, I think I'll make the stock market go down and they'll lose all their money. I know people have lost almost everything they had, what they had invested. I just looked at them and smiled. I said, well, if I had a lot of money, I'd have probably lost it too, but I ain't got no money, so I didn't lose nothing. But you got to understand the devil, he's a sly old fox. The devil wants to deceive every one of us. That's his job. That's his duty, because he is a deceiver. Don't let him deceive you. Don't let some smiley-faced preacher deceive you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your might. And lean not on thine understanding. God will direct your paths every step of the way. Let's stand to our feet, every eye closed, every head bowed.